And we don't always do the whole regime. Sometimes, you know, we've had a terribly busy week, and that's the time when we probably should do it, but then...
Are you busy?
Lisa, I'm just sleepy. Let me sleep.
And then what happens is that you get a sort of Dorian Gray effect.
Oh, yes.
You know, within 24 hours, you can see yourself change, and then when you go through it properly, it's like you've had a facelift over 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, there it is. Incredible. Well, I think the thing here important is that whenever we have those days off, in this society, particularly among the young people, days off the job. That means they're going to the mountains to ski, and so it's going to be 2 days of just whirlwind activity, and they're hurting themselves when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
They need to take that one day and just do nothing.
It's like a death. Let me say this the way we know it. It's like what happens is that you actually, when we set up, if we were to set up our... The way we set it up for ourselves, it's as though you're going through that kind of valley of the shadow of death. It's not really quite a clinical death, but
you get hypothermia, and you actually are almost comatose.
Yes, and I've had visions, and of course I've...
What?
I'd mention that way quite often, you know, even during a week.
I'd mentioned five stages when it's properly done, as we've reconstructed it. You have a preparation stage, which we call a prosabaton, that occurs the evening when you begin. Then you have a detoxification or cleansing stage, which occurs if you don't let yourself get into any adrenal excitement. And during this, you detoxify, and it's catabolic or breakdown. Then you have the stage Vivian is speaking of, which is a quiescent stage, where you're almost comatose. Then you have an anabolic stage where you start to rebuild as you come out of it. And finally, a celebrational stage where we do certain fun things. And it's especially important then, Vivian mentioned...
Back to the bar.
Yeah. Vivian mentioned before finding in the Bible that you have co-aged persons. It's important to do this with people, a celebrational part. And your adrenals are brought back up again. And when this sequence has gone through properly, it's more than just rest, you see. It's a whole elaborate ritual that really just totally renews.
And you'll be going over this in...
In the seminar.
In the seminar with the mind...
And showing photographs to show the effects of it. And,
okay.
But we will be going into the methodology of it in the new edition of AIRS, and part of it in the new nutritional book.
And we've prepared a sheet which explains the diet that we've been following. That's the
Is
one
that a
you
part
referred
of the diet
to.
Sheet that they can get?
That's the diet sheet that they can get by
sending
Well,
let's do it again. You can get the diet sheet on anti-aging, and you get all of that information, too, if you just send $1 just for handling to Lee and Vivian Gledden, G-L-A-D-D-E-N, at 2265 Westwood Boulevard, Suite 249. In Los Angeles, 90064. I guess they can call you at that number, 213-658-5195.
Yes, and we'll be happy to talk with them about individual supplement programs if they have problems, say, with degenerative diseases or other problems. We'll try to discuss modifications for these problems with them.
And then Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night, Holiday Inn out of the airport.
My Institute Expansion.
Mind Expansion Institute.
Yeah, hello, Bill?
Yes.
Hello, John.
Yeah, Bill?
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's sure a beautiful evening as usual. I've been listening for years, and you got an unusually... Of course, not the first time I think I've listened to Lee and Vivian about three different times.
We have seen them before here.
Yeah,
and they fascinate us every time, don't they?
And I was going to get the book over the last couple times you're here, and the valley hasn't gone. Well, I'm still going to get it, because I'll tell you, to me, the Bible was a great thing. But years ago, I thought, for 2,000 people, years ago, that's what it was meant for them. I want today's. And so for the last 15 years or so, it's been metaphysics, and not belonging to any particular group, but always my mind open. And, of course, when Kenneth Arnold saw those first flying saucers in 47, I guess, all I could say was, they're here. Because from a youngster, I'd look at the heavens, and I'd say, I'll go by this lifetime and never know what they mean. So that's what I've been thinking, and how I've taken in for metaphysics, flying saucers, and all this. Now, what I would like to ask you is, do you, I mean, you're, what you're doing is fantastic. I mean, it's not the old Bible for 2,000 years ago. It's the New Age, interpretation that is so beautiful.
The space age men and women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I would like to ask you is, have you ever got a chance, of course you're awfully busy, but look into the OSFE, supposedly the New Age Bible, came through spiritual entombment in about 1890. And it's the history of the world. The heavenly, more or less the low heavens by what's been going on, and the earth itself, going back way to ancient times, long before we've known of the Hebrew, you know, mm-hmm. 4,000 or 5,000 years back. Have you ever looked into that? Because it tells
yes,
all
we
about
have.
The spaceships. And
yes,
you have then, huh?
We did extensive research in mm-hmm. almost everything in print in this field, I think, during the years we were researching this book, and that was one of the things we looked at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And there are interesting parallels, as you suggest.
Well, that's it. Mm-hmm. I can see where it will verify many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all I wanted to know was if I know that you are really steeped into it. Like I say, I've listened before on your lectures on Bill's program, and it's very enlightening. And all I want to do now is get the book and of course, the health business. I just turned 70 in September.
Oh.
And listen to you, Lee. Boy, I'm telling you.
You see?
Well, you sound pretty spry yourself.
There's one satisfaction. You say is you can even rejuvenate the old cells.
That's right.
He said you could rejuvenate everything there, John. It gives us all a lot of hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
John, the cosmic connection in the valley, I think, has a few heirs of the gods.
Oh, beautiful.
The cosmic connection.
All right.
And you might try Dutton's bookstore in Van Nuys.
Which one is that one?
Dutton's.
Oh.
Dutton.
Dalton's.
Dutton.
D-U-T-T-O-N.
Oh, Dutton. Oh, I haven't gone to that one. In Van Nuys. I'll do that.
Max.
Yes.
You're there.
I am. Terrific.
Go for it.
I'm enjoying the show very much, Vivian and Lee. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, I haven't eaten meat in 3 years, and I'm not planning on starting again, especially after hearing what you said tonight.
Good.
I have your book. I've been reading it, and it's just fascinating. What I'd like to know is the when you spoke about this, the day of rest, is that a day where you recommend doing absolutely nothing, staying in bed, sleeping, or is it just a day to be quiet, meditate, that sort of thing?
Well, there is an actual progression of things that happen, and part of the time you're totally quiescent, almost comatose. Other times you're doing things, stretching, breathing, ingesting certain superfoods, and at the end you're actually celebrating in a social setting, if you can possibly. All of these things play their part in the restoration that takes place in the rebuilding.
Mm. And if you are absolutely stressed out to the maximum the other 6 days of the week, will this day take care of it?
It does. Things that nothing else that we've ever come across can do for you. And we look forward to this as the high point of our week now. We live for it, and if we miss it, we can hardly stand it.
No arguing on that day.
It does sound good. Yeah. I'm curious about something else. Your slideshow, how have you been able to create pictures that depict what you're talking about in your book?
Do you live in this area?
Yes.
Can you come to the lecture on Tuesday at the Holiday Inn?
Absolutely.
Well, then we'll
show you how it's done.
We'll show that you'll
but
see it then.
They're just pictures of
depicting the subject.
Before and after kinds of studies.
Yes. Oh, excellent. Okay, I'm going to ignore that. There's one other question I wanted to ask. The idea that a third of the people on the planet will perish. I'm real curious about what is going to happen to this mass exodus of souls, since I believe that we do come back. Where are these souls going to go, and where are they going to re-enter with such an enormous group of them?
Well, so far as we know, the Bible itself doesn't deal with that. It makes the statement, but it doesn't follow up in this particular way. And our book is an attempt to interpret what the Bible says. That's an interesting subject to speculate on, but we don't have any information.
I would imagine that,
that comes out of the Bible on that point.
The two-thirds that are left are going to have to get very busy.
Yeah.
If you can, we can elaborate on that a bit more on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, I'm very curious, and since I plan to be one of the people that stays here, I'd like to know where everybody else is going to go.
Right. Well, we will have some questions and answers. We'll have a question-answer period.
We'll be able to
seminars.
Answer that particular question when we see you.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Nice
Thank
to
you
have
for
the call.
Calling.
Yeah. I'm Bill Jenkins on...
Oh, God
Hello,
bless
Liz.
All of you.
Hello,
Thank you.
Liz. Thank you.
Well, you. First thing I wanted to say is, well, number one, I don't choose to stay in my body forever. But I do, I really believe that I'm going to live a long time. And I believe I have a good immune system, even though I smoke and I drink and I eat red meat. I don't think I'm going to do that forever.
You do all of those things?
Yeah.
I bet you have a good-looking body.
You've got a friend
well,
out there.
I just had a baby. So it's not quite as good-looking as it could be, but...
It'll snap
I'm going to work on it. I know I'm going to.
Yeah.
Right now I'm not doing it, but anyway... Just believing that is a whole part of getting there, right? Just believing you're going to live a long time. So that's one thing I'm going to say.
Your state of mind is a part of health. That's correct.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I have made a date with my wife on my 110th birthday, and she had better be ready.
That's great. That's it. That's exactly it. It's like...
And she told me she'd be there.
She'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 110?
110.
Maybe I see that. I don't know.
110.
But,
I'm going to be a mean old man at 110.
A mean old man. You're a mean old man now, Bill. We love you.
That's not that far away.
There's a few important things I wanted to say.
Okay.
There was a caller that called in about being stressed out all week.
Mm-hmm.
Like having babies and a job and having the time to do it is really important. And it's good, I think, if you can even take it to lunch break. 15 minutes. To completely just relax.
Mm-hmm. European
style. If you can
style,
do that, somehow work it in
these
short periods.
Of course.
Then it's very helpful. But also, what else was I going to say? The blind woman was asking about reincarnation
mm-hmm.
and how that might be important. And it was never important to me until recently because I never had any memories of it, but I had a tape sent to me. And it said that I believed that I had a good immune system on Atlantis and ate poison plants, tried to introduce new forms of plant life into the community, and believed that I was immune to them. So, anyway, I lived a long time believing that.
You were the one that gave us cauliflower.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But also, somebody died from something introduced, so I stopped trusting my belief in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I died. I poisoned myself in that lifetime. But that was interesting to me in supporting my beliefs that I've had since I was a child, that I had a good immune system. Like poison ivy, we had it all over the place, and I always told people I was immune, and I never got it. So, anyway, in your computer, it probably says I was going to ask about plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I started to ask about. Can we inspire a long life in plants and animals? How does your theories apply to that?
Well, our... book doesn't touch on that particular question, but it certainly is an interesting question and one that I would like to see pursued. And of course, some of the things that we have found out working on ourselves and other human subjects have been tested on animals.
Mm-hmm. And they're working.
Did you ask about plants?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Well, when you do the Sabbath rest, see that gardenia I had lasted almost 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Off of the vine.
Mm-hmm.
We got it in October, in December, about 2.5 months. It was still as fresh and as white, and I had worn it a couple of times. I did keep it, of course, in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Sabbath rest, if I were to wear it a couple of times in the week, that energy...
And in our new book, our sequel to Ayers, we're going to be talking about this particular phenomenon of incorruptibility. It's
yes.
very interesting.
Yes, we didn't touch on the incorruptibles. We're doing research on the...
Lee?
Yes?
Could you have given that gardenia to someone else, and could they have gotten maybe even some strength from it?
Yes. It was my gardenia, and I was doing the Sabbath. Yes, and you ask us about... What I'm saying is that we know that music causes plants to grow
mm-hmm.
in a certain way. We know that when I do my meditation and yoga in the room with my plants, they thrive beautifully. And we know that if you pray, our friend Dr. William Parker was one of the pioneers, I guess maybe 30 years ago,
Prayer therapy
for plants.
Mm-hmm.
So if that answers any part of your question.
Well, you know, there is an aspect of this, Lee, is you get into these states, these altered states of consciousness as you do. You're getting down into the theta,
absolutely.
The theta
yes,
level.
Absolutely,
yes.
Down around the Schumann resonance, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Our plants thrive.
I have noticed... I have a little device that John Bedini made for me that I put in the room, and it resonates the entire room. At 8 hertz scalar.
Yes.
And I can cut flowers from the backyard, mm-hmm. Particularly the dahlias, which are out this time of year. And when that is on, they will last 3 weeks.
No question that
no question
it makes a difference.
That.
And
yeah.
when it's off, they'll last 2 or 3 days.
You know what I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about making a book on crystal gardening.
Well, that's certainly good, because you, again, are resonating a new kind of energy in and around those plants.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Good luck with that.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
It was
wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard on. Very intelligent.
Yes, very, very.
Thank you.
I'm
refreshing.
Bill Jenkins with Doctors Lee and Vivian are with me, and we're talking to, is that Ramon?
Yes, that's me.
Okay.
How are you? Listen, I have a double-barreled question for you.
All right.
First, I'm going to ask you in the first part, then I'll go into the second part. The first part of my question, does the Bible mention any way of developing by methods of diet or exercise or meditation in your system that produces what they call the superpowers?
Well, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. In fact, it discusses a special kind of person in the New Testament, well, in the Old Testament also, called a Nazarite, who follows particular rituals and can develop these kinds of powers.
Okay, the second part of this double-barrel question is there also a prediction or a method where they talk about what is now being called the scalar technology? Is that mentioned that this is going to be developed? And of course, the scalar instrumentation, even using instruments, or even the kind using crystals, which are more advanced.
Well, I would say that we have a very accurate description in Genesis of the use of a scalar and a barometer, as it talked about how the area of the great experiment was enclosed and shielded from weather and everything else, where they were going to raise this new species, and they called it a firmament in the sky.
That's right.
And if you look at the energy shields that are thrown up over Seresigen and the Soviet Union and other places, it is just that. It's a dome of energy, and you see it as a glowing, almost sort of an orange firmament in the sky.
Okay.
Now, that's an energy field, which is a purely scalar weapon or a scalar technique, and it's right in the first chapter of Genesis.
Is it going to be predicted that the scalar technology is going to come back as far as people using it, or is it basically the people from outer space going to use it, or is it a combination?
Well, I think if you look in Revelations particularly, as it describes the return of the celestials, that you see a lot of this kind of advanced technology being mentioned. Certainly the laser technology is being mentioned. And some of the things that we might call laser technology could easily be scalar technology,
mm-hmm.
and the use of the robots and the other things that are there. The ability to, for instance, put images in the sky, which is graphically described in Revelations, where everybody who's going to look at them is a pure scalar technique.
I see. And, of course, there's certain uses of crystals in the Bible which probably have a scalar component, like the breastplate.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The Ark to the Covenant.
The Ark to the Covenant.
They are crystal devices.
Yeah.
Well, crystals certainly are talked about not only in the Bible, but in all of the ancient the literature is talking about the use of crystals, which, of course, are an amplifier of energy.
In fact, the Ark of the Covenant sounds like a scalar device, doesn't it?
It certainly has a lot of the ramifications. All armies fell before it.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I can think of would be something in the scalar range. Another thing, too, is the ability for, as in Revelations, where people were hearing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Like we would think perhaps in terms of giant loudspeakers, but we now know using scalar technology, which is done in a very embryonic way with the optophonic sound system, where the technology is directed toward the mind and it bypasses the ears altogether.
You had a marvelous, in a lighter vein, display of what this might involve in the optical effects in the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, right.
Also in the Bible in Thessalonians speaks of the trumpet of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, sounds are certainly whenever you have mass sounds and people all hearing the same sounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It takes a technology more than just big loudspeakers to achieve that. So there has to be a way of directing a technology toward the perception center of the mind, which is purely a scalar instrumentality.
So basically what you're saying is being directed by these beings from the outside, and also some people on Earth are getting that technology or being channeled to receive that technology for some reason.
That's right.
Do you happen to have any theory about what the reason is? Why is scalar technology becoming important now? And
well,
has it something to do with the Bible?
I don't know whether it has anything to do with the Bible. It's just a natural evolution of the technology that we have gone along. And it's also required, if we're going to develop our society to the level we want to see it develop to. We have reached the limits of the technology we have now. The technology we have now is destroying our planet. If we don't do something soon, the planet is going to be a totally corrupted and polluted place. We can't afford to burn that oil anymore in order to have energy. We can't afford all of the things we're doing. So a new technology must come into place, nor can we afford to let our people die, which is what we're doing with our chemical medicine and knife medicine. There has to be a better way. So it's just the demands of society for this society to reach the heights that it should reach and it was intended to reach, which has brought on this quantum leap in technology, which we're calling scalar interferometry.
We were to preserve the planet.
And we're certainly not doing that now.
It's a plundered planet. Yes.
But with scalar, you see, we're now tapping a new source of energy altogether that is extremely beneficial, but like any kind of technology, it has two sides to the sword.
And one that is described very accurately in the Bible is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your input. And it seems that finally we have all the subjects that are in your program seem to have coalesced at this one point.
All right.
Common ground.
Thank you, Ramon.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate your
thank
call.
You.
We're 14 minutes away from 12 o'clock on this Saturday night with me, Drs. Lee and Vivian Gladden.
Hey, how are you?
Hello,
hello, Phyllis.
Phyllis.
How are the both of you?
Oh,
I just love the both
thank
of you.
Thank
talking
you.
With you wonderful people.
I have never heard you before. I'm visiting here in Los Angeles. I live in a small town in Ohio. This is the second time I tuned in to KABC since I've been here.
Oh.
And I see that you all are going to be in different areas. First of all, I wanted to know, is there a way that I can get tapes that I can introduce you to the area that I live in? It's a very open community, and it's a lot of New Age people there.
Where do you live?
I live in Ojai.
Oh, in Ojai. Can't you hear us up there in Ojai?
No, I can't.
Some people are. You just got to tune it in better.
Yeah. Well, I got to try real hard because it's just a great program.
Well,
we have
thanks,
friends
thank
that can get you in Santa Barbara.
In Santa Barbara?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Carpinteria.
Well, then I got to just try harder.
Well, just take a little bigger antenna because we're only 5,000 watts, but we get up there at night. We have people up at Milpitas that listen to us, but you could be in a null area.
Well, I'm right down in the valley.
What we are trying to do, and it is a very complicated process to do it because the show is technically owned by the American Broadcasting Company.
Okay.
Is to release audio cassettes of the show to, you know, people who want them. There is a never-ending demand for them.
I'm certain. With Lee and Vivian Gladden, I can understand why.
It's probably one of the more recorded shows by people who are just recording. I know they're recording it and sending their friends all over the world because I get mail from all over the world, and I know the KABC doesn't get out that far.
I hear you.
But to get those things, first of all, to get all of the clearances necessary to do that and to satisfy all kinds of contractual obligations that are in the woodwork that I don't even know anything about, and then get the tapes edited down, and then go through all of the process of making them commercially available is an awesome task for somebody, but we are trying to get that done.
I hear you. I do
have every single show. So.
Oh, well, great then. I want to know also more about Vivian and Lee and their work that they're doing. This Sabbath rest, I wanted to ask, would you all suggest that the seventh day be the seventh day after your birthday? You know, say, for instance, you were born on Tuesday, your Sabbath be on Monday, or would you start on a Saturday because of the planetary vibrations?
Well, practically speaking, what we find is that different people have to use different days, and it does seem that certain days are optimally better than others, and that varies from one person to another, not only in terms of the practicalities of their life, but it may also depend, as you suggest, on things such as their birth sign or their day of birth or astronomical relations that have to do with the celestial rhythms or biorhythms and their interaction.
It seems a little unusual to assume that everybody would need the same day.
Yeah.
It's very practical in terms of our society, perhaps.
In our work, in the workforce, you work 6 days, and you're needing a rest by that 7 days.
We have tried
Going for 4 days, honey. What's six
depending
days?
On the practicalities of our life, we have tried different days for periods of time. That is, we've tried Mondays, we've tried Sundays, we've tried Saturdays, and occasionally other days such as Thursdays, and we find that the benefit is there regardless of the day.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what form of gematria or numerology do you use to decipher the Bible edicts that you've come across?
Well, it's a rather complicated procedure we call archaeolinguistics, and we'll be talking more about that in the seminars, but there's not enough time to get into it on the show tonight.
Okay. What is the name of your new book?
Well, Heirs of the Gods will be coming out second edition, and then we'll be having another book on nutrition. Are you in the area? Could you come?
Okay,
I thought you was here in the city right now.
Well, right now, but I'm supposed to be leaving in the morning.
Oh, I see.
And I heard you were going to be at the airport and all, but I'm in the process of packing to move right after Thanksgiving.
I see.
So I'm going to have to be going back, but I certainly do. Is there any way that I can get any other tapes on your workshops on the Sabbath rest or something?
Well, we will be...
A light bulb just went on. So why don't you record those little seminars you give?
Yes, a good idea.
We will be including that in the new book. And we do have some tapes. I have some tapes of a radio ministry that I had.
Okay.
And we... have those at the seminars when we a number if you would like to call that
that's
number.
6585195.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's 2265.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering when you were talking before, you were suggesting that perhaps fasting on the Sabbath day would be the procedure. Well, I'm in the traditional Orthodox Jewish religion, and I know that when I was growing up, one of the things they taught us was you don't ever fast on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are a lot of sages there's at least one sage that I recall, I don't remember his name, that used to fast the other six days, and then on the Sabbath he'd break his fast.
Uh-huh.
And apparently did that for all of his life.
Only ate one day a week?
Yeah, on the Sabbath.
Oh, I tell you what, they wouldn't like him down at Cantor's.
Well,
so what is your question?
Well, my question is, most of the things that you've been saying, if you're Orthodox Jewish, you can just follow exactly what all the things you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But that particular item seems to fall,
at variance.
Who are we speaking again?
This is Irv.
Irv, Isaiah 58, if you'll take your Bible at some point and read Isaiah 58. I think that, you see, what we said earlier is that the people, the Jews, have been keeping the Sabbath for thousands of years. It's not purely a religious involvement. If you will read Isaiah 58, I think that you will see what we're speaking of. And that's the day you really are supposed to fast, is on the Sabbath. It speaks of, it's speaking about, in verse 6, it says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden. And it talks about the re-reward. The Sabbath day, this is a key to the windings and unwinding of the DNA helix.
What we have found in examining the text in the light of archaeolinguistic serve is that through the centuries, much of the original pattern of the Sabbath has been lost and transformed. And I think this is one respect in which probably observance has gone astray over the centuries.
Okay, I agree that that's a possibility. What, mm-hmm. See, where I'm coming from, what I'm looking at is that there is an addition to the actual text of the five books of Moses.
Right.